Welcome to the Minimum Effective Dose Podcast, where we discuss the art, science, and application of high-performance strength and conditioning. Join Mike Perry and Brett Jones as they share invaluable experiences veteran strength coaches, lecturers, and educators. Welcome to Season 4 of the Minimum Effective Dose Podcast.
And we are back with another episode of the Minimum Effective Dose Podcast. And like most of the podcasts, Brett's going to talk about himself. So Brett, no, I'm just messing with you, buddy. But he actually made that joke right before we started recording.
Not a joke.
What are we talking about today, buddy?
I've seen a couple posts on the Strong First Forum and noticed some things on the interwebs and the Book of Faces and the social media sort of range. And basically, it's like aging and training. You know, there was a post where somebody asked, like, at what age do you stop pushing for PRs? You know, how do you guys keep training, you know, as you age? And so I think there's valuable conversation to be had here, because as Dr. Ed Thomas once told me, we're born, we're dying. So the end of days will come for all of us in some fashion at some point. No day is guaranteed anyone, as the two of us very well know when we hear cancer diagnoses and go through treatments and things of that nature. I think people blame aging on bad programming and bad decision making and bad mobility and, you know, a multitude of things. So that's kind of where I want to take the conversation today is this idea that you're going to age. B, you're probably using it as an excuse because you're just making some bad decisions or, you know, not taking care of some things you need to take care of. And what does training look like as we go through the decades? Because it's funny, because I think for every 20-some-year-old who says, oh, I'm almost 30, there's a 30-year-old that says, oh, just wait. And then there's a 40-year-old saying, oh, just wait. And then there's a 50-year-old laughing at the 40-year-old. And then there's a 60-year-old with their middle fingers up. And then there's a 70-year-old going, dear Lord, what in the hell is going on with these people? So I, you know, for every, and you could make the same joke generationally about rock and roll music, you know, it was going to ruin the world. And maybe that is what happened.
Wow. Wait a minute. This podcast just went, don't worry. Your kids are going to love it. Sorry. Great movie.
Because you just hit the tender age of 11.
11. For those of you that don't know, I'm a leap year baby, so I am 44, and you know, I hit the tender age of 11. So I was. Let me start from the beginning when I started exercising. I was that kid that started when he was probably 12 years old with the Sears weight kit. You know, the vinyl weights that were filled with sand or concrete or some sort of combination of, and the screw on plates. And I just started doing a bunch of crap and, you know, always sort of had this, infatuation with muscles. I think it came from being a young kid watching, you know, Bloodsport and, you know, all these karate movies with Van Damme. And that was a big part of me growing up. But, you know, I always had this sort of, I don't know, it's just sort of, always had this love for physical fitness. And, you know, as I got older, I sort of chased it. And here's the thing about, you know, the aging process and physical fitness is when you're young, you are incredibly resilient and the decisions that you make may not be apparent for a very, very long time. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go have fun. I'm not saying you shouldn't go live your life, but I just think that there are some decisions that you need to make with your body, and whether or not you want the short-term rewards of that work, whatever it is, or the long-term sort of aspects of being healthy. And the gross exaggeration is you see guys like Ronnie Coleman, right? Guys that were, you know, arguably the most well-known bodybuilders in the world. And the guy can barely stand up because he took it to the limit. Right. And that guy's an outlier, but you know, I think one thing people don't realize is, you know, you really don't know what you've done to yourself until a little bit later down the road and those old injuries start to creep up. So, you know, I think the general principles that we all sort of live by still are something we're both going to die in, which is, hey, look, move well, right? Whatever that is for you, taking your joints through a full range of motion on a daily basis is a pretty good idea. Loaded or unloaded, that's your choice, right? So just global mobility. Being strong is generally good. Strong people are generally more useful than weak people. No one calls their weak friends to move a couch, right? And then, you know, obviously having some sort of capacity, whether it's muscular endurance or, you know, various types of cardiovascular capacity. But it's a very, very simple recipe. And I think most of us would agree that those are the main things that we need. But unfortunately, I think it goes off the rails when people get biased towards maybe only one or two things.
Yeah. And so I think that, if I could go back in time and to your point of, you know, things that you pushed for early on that might show up later in life, if I could go back in time and, you know, give myself a little bit of a gift, it would be to have a little patience in trying to accomplish certain goals. You know, when I was powerlifting, I wanted a total raw elite yesterday. And I got close, but never got there, and had a few different things kind of happening around that time that led me to step away from the barbell. So patience, give yourself time. So that's maybe there's a young person listening to this who will realize they need to give themselves time to get to a goal, and that can forgive many things. When I was powerlifting, I was in my late 30s. I would, you know, be squatting and you know, somebody would walk by and go, oh, ever since I turned 30, I can't squat like that. I'm like, well, I'm 38, so what is your excuse? Like, you know, squats don't hurt your knees the way you squat hurts your knees, to paraphrase the old Dan John quote. So here's the bitter pill that nobody wants to take. And I'm going to give a big Roddy Piper reality check to everybody here for just a moment. And to quote one more person before I give you the quote, Rob Lawrence, who used to be part of our kettlebell community, his self-help book was titled, It's Your Fault. So, yes, we're all aging. Yes, that brings about different challenges. It your recovery ability might not be like it was when you were in your 20s. You might not have the wiggle room or buffer zone that you used to have. And so you feel things a little quicker. But in general, if you are constantly getting injured from your training and wondering at the age of 38 or 42 or whatever, you're wondering how you're going to keep training, it's your fault. You are not taking care of your mobility. You probably have some lifestyle issues. You don't have a coach, and you might think you know how to perform a particular movement, but some coaching would probably help. And your programming's off. Now there's a saying down south that when you point a finger at somebody, three of them are pointing back at you. So have I made all of those mistakes? Yes. I'm hoping to create a little bit of a reality check for folks that if you're blaming age for everything that's wrong with you, pretty sure you're pointing the fingers at the wrong thing. And three of those fingers pointing back at you, you need to take a look at. So I'll step down off my soapbox, take off my Rowdy Roddy Piper t-shirt, reality check t-shirt. There's a throwback for you.
Yeah. It, you know what? And on the other side of that, right? Because there's going to be some people that are going to be like, well, you know, it's not my fault because of X, right? So, and I'll give you a perfect example. I have pretty bad neuropathy from my chemotherapy, right? I have pretty bad neuropathy from it. And there's a lot of days at the end of the day, I can't even stand up on my wood floor because it hurts so bad. Now, that is not my fault. But if I don't sleep enough, that's my fault. If I don't take care of my body and I don't eat the right things, that's my fault, right? If I don't do the necessary things to maintain or try to make myself feel a little bit better or manage symptoms, that's my fault. So, you know, I think a key part of it is just simply the ownership, right? The ownership is, yeah, shitty things happen, right? We know this. That's not what this is about. But the point is that, you know, you have that option. You have that choice. You have something to do. Is it perfect? No, but it's an option, right? And I think we have to approach these situations. And again, we have a very different skewed look at life because of what we've been through. But, you know, training is a privilege. Movement is a privilege. We talk about that all the time. And, you know, I wish people would stop just saying, I can't do this because of this, and start going, but I can do this, 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 and this, because yes, it's, you know, the cup is half full. It's a very, very optimistic way to do it, but it's all about the mindset. It's all about the mindset. If you constantly, you know, tell yourself, I can't do this and I can't do this and, you know, blame all this stuff, do you think that you're going to have any sort of positive response to physical fitness or anything when you're constantly telling yourself you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't? Sometimes you just need to step back and go, look, I used to coulda, and it is what it is, but now I have to move on because yes, things are different. You're not 20 years old anymore. You're just not. And you got to accept that.
100%. So practical advice. You are a used to could at something.
Yeah,
I'm a used to could at nail bending. Used to have pretty strong hands. And actually, it's the 20-year anniversary of me bending the red nail. That was 20
right
freaking
now.
Years ago. Yeah. I could probably bust out a grade 8.
You
know what?
I
have looked. Yes. I'll send you a link. It's on YouTube.
That.
Please. 20 years ago. I'm a used to could. And I need to accept that. So meet yourself where you are, and you'll be surprised where you can take yourself. Mm-hmm. Instead of always trying to recapture the glory days and be Uncle Rico, you know, meet yourself where you are. Give yourself time. So that's number one. Number two, lifestyle. I'll curse a little since we are free to do so. You can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Well,
but you can, but it
Sorry,
doesn't taste very good.
I was just going to say, you can, but this is whey bread.
So if you're eating like crap and you're drinking too much alcohol and you're not hydrating and you're not sleeping enough, and, you know, if there's all those lifestyle things that need to be dialed in and you're wondering why training isn't benefiting you, change direction, take care of your lifestyle stuff. Back off of your training, get your sleep dialed in, get your hydration, nutrition, stress, get those lifestyle things taken care of. You know, I don't live the life of a monk. Do I enjoy? I had pork empanadas last night. Amazing. They're great. I also had a salad. You know, balance. Moderation.
That works in my book.
All things in moderation. So therefore, excess is okay in moderation. So wisdom. So two big pieces of advice right there, because if you're not willing to accept where you are and that you're used to could at something and you're not willing to dial in your lifestyle, then a lot of the other advice we're going to give you isn't going to be hanging on a good hook anyway. So before we go further with practical advice, thoughts on that, Mike?
Practical advice? Thoughts on? I love practical advice. I'm a big fan of it. I recommend that you should implement it as much as possible. I mean, look, guys, like, we're not like self-help gurus, but at a certain point, a lot of this stuff it's the same stuff. It's the same stuff over and over again. But, you know, I think ownership is a big part of it. But there's one other thing that I was thinking of, because I I was thinking about this, you know, based off of, you know, stuff that's happened in my own life is there's times you set goals and you have decisions that you make, or you know, put your mind towards something based off of the information or the data that you have. Right. And then life happens. And I'm the type of guy that'd be like, oh, I can't believe I didn't check that box off. Like, I can't believe that I wasn't able to do that. But it's like, yeah, but things are different, right? So, you know, I had some goals, some jujitsu goals, right? You know, I had some pretty lofty jujitsu goals, and I didn't meet them. And part of me, you know, is frustrated, right? Part of me kicks myself in the butt for that. But I can honestly say I have some valid reasons as to why I wasn't able to do it. And that's not an excuse. It's just simply it's data. But, you know, what I also have to do is say, hey, look, like things are different now. And to put myself, to put those type of expectations on myself, it's just not reality. And, you know, I think that's a big part of sort of just growing up is a lot of us have this mindset that we used to do stuff a certain way and it has to stay that way. But it doesn't. Things change, information changes, bodies change, you know, jobs change, and you're going to have to sometimes just start something completely different or stop something for a while. So, you know, goal setting is important, but also being flexible, I think, is a really important thing as well.
100%. Now, flexible in your decision-making and knowing when to change directions, or flexible in your body, or yes?
Yes. Yeah, well, I think both. I think, you know, for example, we talked about this earlier. So I've probably taken about maybe 5 or 6 weeks off from jujitsu. And it was for a couple different reasons. One, it wasn't fun for me. I just wasn't enjoying it anymore. It was on my schedule and had so many other things going on. It wasn't fun, but I was beating myself up because I was like, I gotta go. So I decided, you know what? I'm just gonna take it off my calendar. You know, I missed a lot of jujitsu during the pandemic when I was sick. Another couple months, aren't going to make a huge difference. But I needed to do that because I didn't want to hate it, right? I didn't want to resent the sport. I didn't want to be there and just grumpy and show up and make it a bad experience for other people. So I decided to step back. But here's the beauty of it now. I'm getting that itch again, right? I'm wanting to train again. And I'm, you know, I'm getting back to that point where I miss it. And that was kind of the whole point of this process, right? And you can't slam yourself based off of crazy circumstances, but you do have to do something, right? You don't be so damn hard on yourself that, you know, because you didn't train 7 times in a week, don't be so hard on yourself. But at the same time, you can't be like, well, that's just life and that bad things happen. you can't, you know, extremes either way aren't great.
100%. So I wanted a 600 pound deadlift. Never got it. Got to 573. Pretty decent pull, but never got over 6. Okay. There's so much more important things in life.
Yeah.
And the goals that we kind of hold up sometimes as being these all consuming or really focusing, they can be super positive in certain ways. But in hindsight, when you don't accomplish them, you realize, you know, it was good for that moment, but like nobody's going to be checking in on my tombstone to see if I had a 600 pound deadlift.
I will. I'm always going to say it was always 573.
It's close, but no cigar, Jones.
Here lies Brett Jones. He was 600 sort of strong.
So, yeah, I think one of the things that plays in there is just, I've talked about this in a couple of different ways, but failure. So we set ourselves up in situations where we're kind of doomed to fail. And some people are like, that's only where they're happy. Like they're only happy if they're miserable. They're only happy if something's wrong. And so setting yourself up for something that you don't actually put the pieces in place to accomplish, or realize that, you know, if you're built like a sumo wrestler, maybe marathons aren't for you. Like you can set the goal of a marathon, maybe not the best choice, and you should maybe be a sumo wrestler. So we sometimes we set ourselves up to fail.
Yeah. Well, yeah, goals that are just simply not going to happen, right? I mean, it's
so, but then when we, even when we do set a realistic goal and we fail to achieve it, because that's going to happen for anybody out there that maybe hadn't got the memo yet, that's going to happen and it's okay. It's the things you learn getting to that point that you, the lessons that you want to take with you and that you do. But boy, some people take that failure and they use that as a reason to not try anything ever again, or to constantly feel like they're a failure. Guess who's listening when you self-talk negatively about yourself? You are. And guess who believes what you're saying? You do.
Yeah.
Whether you think, you know, I was just kidding. I'm not sure your brain knows that. Yeah. So, okay. So back into practical advice. Movement quality matters. Like you said, move well. I can, and look, I almost hate the internet right now and social media. Everybody's talking about 100 different ways to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, hypermobile people are still trying to teach people how to do mobility work, and different things are going on. Movement quality matters. If you are not doing something on a regular basis to maintain your movement quality and make sure that you can knock off FMS style movements, if you're not checking in on ankle, hip, and T-spine mobility on a regular basis, if you're not doing some sort of just a little bit of soft tissue quality work, if you're not doing things to maintain your movement quality, you will not keep it and it will come home to roost. So practical advice number one, and I'll make a shameless plug for my Mind the Gap product on strongandfit.com as a way to start looking at a little bit of soft tissue work and mobility work and filling in those stability, strength, and mobility, stability, and strength gaps, and how to tie those things together into your program. And are there days where that's most of my training? Yes. There's a lot of days where that's the first 10 minutes of what I do, and then I get after it and have a good session. But I always have a check on my movement quality. That is a gift that you can give yourself that will help you age and train as you age very successfully.
Yeah, no, the movement quality, and I love the fact that you're kind of paying attention to this stuff, because I think the awareness piece is something that, you know, a long time ago, Gray was talking about, you know, correctives, and he's like, hey, the first step is knowing that there's a problem to begin with, right? You know, awareness and creating a proprioceptive rich environment where people can, you know, feel what they need to feel. But, you know, it's cool when you can start to educate people. And then they come in, they're like, oh man, my left ankle's a little bit of tight. My left ankle's tight. Or, you know, my rotation to the left is a little off. I need to work on that. So it's kind of cool when you can have people come in and they almost learn to maintain their own vehicle. Right. Right. It's like, hey, if you know how to change your oil and you've done it a few times, you get more efficient at it. Right. And I think that's the awareness piece, is learning like, hey, hopefully a good coach will give you a really good assessment, and they will give you some basic stuff that will make the largest impact on your movement, whatever those things are. But it's up to the athlete to take that and apply it and start to learn what their body is and the tendencies of their body, what their norms are, right? Giving them some basic information on that is super, super important. But learning to check in, like I know for me, a very, very simple movement pattern for me is if I can do a feet together deep squat with my heels down, I know that my movement is dialed in. I know that that checks all boxes for me. Now, is that everyone? No, but for me, I know that that's a pretty good, like, hey, global movement quality checks a lot of boxes for me. That is something that I notice. So, you know, I think the deep squat is a perfect example of that. I think the deep squat is something that is often underutilized. And I think one of the best ways to restore function of the knees is via deep squatting over time with, you know, progressive overload and slow and steady, methodical steps, not just going knees over toes and, you know, hoping the adaptation works as quickly as possible. But I think, again, taking your joints through a full range of motion and slowly over time introducing load is a beautiful thing, right? That's how stress and adaptation works anyway. if there's too much stress, the adaptation is an injury. So you don't want to hit the hammer too much, right? So, but, you know, I think it's simply that going through a full range of motion, being able to get in those deep squats, those deep lunge positions, especially as I get older, I feel like those are the things that make a huge, huge, significant difference in the everyday life for me.
100%. I know that cross crawls and hard rolls are important for me because I've got mileage at my hips. And if I can flex my hips enough to get elbow to knee without compensating, bringing my head off the ground or having too much movement of the down leg, I know I'm in a good place movement wise. Yeah. And there's a lot of other things in my little ground-based routine where I check in on ankles, hips, T-spine. And the cross crawl is kind of how I make sure everything's tying together. So there's definitely some things that you want to put together as you age that are going to be consistent things. I might sound boring, but I prepare for every training session the same way. There's a quick foam roller routine. There's my ground-based movement. I've got some single leg deadlifts, airborne lunge, windmill. And then I get into some additional get-ups and ready to train. And that allows me, and when I was doing Simple and Sinister February, as stressful as the first couple weeks were, because I wasn't used to training every day, I felt great at the end of Simple and Sinister February. My mobility work was happening pretty much every day. I was training every day. I was varying my loads. I felt great. So, and I'm a 52-year-old who has some mileage. I'm not a garage-kept single owner. Okay, next piece of practical advice, programming. If you're constantly getting injured or you're constantly trying to figure out how to get, and injured can mean a lot of things. If your knees are sore, you gotta put on your knee wraps to go to the bathroom the day after doing a lower body workout. Your movement's wrong, your programming's wrong, period. Like, I'm sorry. Now, to Mike's point of medical conditions and things that are going to be with you for the rest of your life, please put an asterisk beside the comment that I just made. But I'm still going to look at your movement quality. I'm still going to look at your programming. Even if you come in and say, Doc said I've got X. Okay. Doc said you've got X. Understood. Now let's see what we need to do with and around that. So from a programming standpoint, what I can tell you is typically you're doing too much. Your load management is off. Now, I make this mistake about 10 times a year where I start thinking I'm ready to level up in particular areas and then have to take some easy training days to recover from. So I'm not saying this is, I'm pointing a finger back at myself here. But for an example, I had pushed a little too hard, had to take a couple weeks where I was doing a lot of 32 kilo training sessions. Yesterday was 80 sets of iron cardio alternating weight between 36 and 40 with three swings. So it'd be clean press squat left, set it down, shake it off, three swings left, repeat for 80 total sets. 42 minutes of work. Pretty daggone good training session. I'm actually pretty happy with it.
Got some volume in there, man.
Yeah. Now that is something that I want to visit. That is not now where I live. What allowed me to have that day, to have that performance, was the easier training in between. And that is the first thing that goes out the window when we have a good training session or when we hit a PR or a rep max or whatever the case may be. We throw out what got us there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's the business book, what got you there, what got you here won't get you there. But that doesn't apply to training. the work I do with a 32 and a little bit with a 36, that's what supports me getting to these higher volume and higher load sessions. And I think when most people look at training progression, they try to literally level up, and I'm never going to touch that lighter bell again or that lighter weight or whatever the case may be. And that is where most of the problems start. And I've said it probably 1,000 times. I will say it 5,000 more before I die. if you're constantly trying to figure out how to recover from your training, you are doing too much. It's not because you don't have a red light. It's not because you don't have pumps on your legs. It's not because you're not taking a particular supplement. It's because you're doing too much.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to a running group last night, and you know, they were asking all these different questions, and we had an orthopedic doctor there. We had a muscular therapist, a great panel. And you know, everybody was talking about a bunch of things. And I said, look, you know, cause they were talking about footwear, and I go, here's one of the issues that I see with a lot of runners is, you know, they don't eat well, they don't sleep well, they don't take care of their hydration, and then they go out and they buy new running shoes because they think that's the problem. Right. Like, that's what a lot of people do. It's like, mm-hmm. they're not having a healthy dose of reality with that stuff. Right. They're just simply not. So, but you know, I mean, at the end of the day too, I think we have to just fill the gaps. If we're already doing something, because people do what they like, right? People do what they like. So that's why, I mean, you know, I guess I am going to be stereotypical, but you go to a place on Monday, you go to a big box gym on Mondays, you see a bunch of guys doing bench and a bunch of females doing, you see a bunch of females doing elliptical. And I'm grateful it's changing, but point being is most of those guys need the elliptical and most of the ladies need to lift weights, right? I mean, you just have to kind of do a basic flip flop, and that's what it looks like. But point being is if you're already exercising and you're doing the same thing or the same type of modality over and over and over again, and you're wondering why potentially you're not making any progress, it's probably because you haven't applied enough stress to get any type of adaptation. And that's just, that's kind of how science works. So, but yeah, so, you know, I think it's, the advice is simple and not easy, right? But I think the key is to try to find a way. If you are starting off, right, you are going to do some mobility work, find someone that can actually look at your movement and give you some insight on how to optimize that, whatever that might look like. And again, some basic progressions on strength training, very, very important to do. Make sure you're getting your energy system development, sprinkling in some balance and all the other stuff. But I think the movement quality, you know, maintaining your ability to lunge in various directions, maintaining your ability to do a deep squat. If you can maintain those qualities and those skills for as long as possible, I think you're going to have a better life.
100%. Being able to move is a gift, and mm-hmm. You know, we take it for granted, and then when it's challenged, we suddenly start to prioritize it. So I think practical advice, last one, you probably need a coach.
Yeah.
You probably need somebody to help you, even if it's just a every 4 to 6 week check-in to keep tabs on things. I sent a couple training videos to Fabio today and said, hey, what do you think? He's like, Why are you asking? I'm like, because I haven't had eyes on me in a while. You know, I post stuff on social media, but I'm not taking coaching feedback from social media.
Come on.
Everybody needs eyes on them at some point. There is something 100%. That's going to sneak in there that you're not going to realize. And having a coach's eye on you, even if it's just periodically, is something. And to get programming advice. Just because you pulled it out of Muscle and Fiction or off of the interwebs and, you know, somebody's whatever free training guide, doesn't mean it's the right program for you. So having a coach to help you filter information, to look at movement and to check technique can really make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, maybe closing thoughts from me, we're all going to age. We're born, we're dying. Yeah, it's just the reality of life is that we are going to age. Things are going to change as we age. I'm happy right now to be 52 and still getting sessions in with my 36 and 40 kilo. And I don't think I'll be doing that when I'm 80 or 85. But who knows? Maybe my consistency will pay off as time goes by. But the thing I'm willing to do is change, adapt, and overcome as I age and do what I can, not what I think I should be doing. So adjust as needed. Change, adapt, overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, as you get older, there's going to be days where you're going to be sore, you're going to be tired, and you're going to be achy. But it's better to be all of those and strong and mobile at the same time, right? It's if you're going to be sore, tired, and achy, you might as well be jacked and mobile at the same time, right? You might as well do the extra work. That way, it's at least a little bit functional. You know what I'm saying? But honestly, you know, it's just part of the process. You're going to be sore. You're going to be tired. You might as well get some benefit out of it in the meantime. But well, anyways, Brett, another good one in the books for today. To our listeners, guys, thank you so much. We truly appreciate you guys listening. Do us a huge favor. Give us a positive review on whatever platform you're listening to, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks so much, guys. Hey, everybody. Coach Mike here. Thank you so much for your support. We truly appreciate it. If you could do us a huge favor, please give us a positive review on whatever platform you're listening to. And also, please share this with your friends, colleagues, teammates, and fitness enthusiasts. Thank you again for supporting the Minimum Effective Dose podcast.